Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Heidi Stevens in the Chicago Tribune wrote the other day, last week after Alex Trebek announced he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, I wrote a column about attaching the words battle and lose and win to the disease. I interviewed Chicagoan Sheila Quirk, whose 4-year-old daughter and both parents have died of cancer. Quirk advocates for pausing to consider the words we fall back on when someone is diagnosed with cancer. Stevens wrote, quote, "People who die from their cancer diagnosis are not weak, have not lost, are not losers." That's her actually quoting the mother in this case. "People who survive their cancer diagnosis are not winners who beat a mighty foe." The woman says, "Allow cancer patients to define themselves always, but stop contributing to a paradigm of war for this specific disease. Never refer to someone as having, quote, lost their battle with cancer. Never say someone fought hard only to succumb. Never suggest a cancer patient has the ability to beat their disease." I'm going to read that again because it leads to our guest. This is this woman writing about this, and it's in Heidi Stevens' column, and she said, "Never suggest a cancer patient has the ability to, quote-unquote, beat their disease, as though, now I'm speaking, your will or your thoughts can impact your illness." And I've been wondering about that. We called Elizabeth Addington, who is a doctor over at Northwestern. She's a clinical health psychologist and an assistant professor of medical social sciences at the Feinberg School. Thanks for coming into our studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Jump in there. What do you think about that?
I think, you know, the point that this caregiver is trying to make is that when we use simple language and sort of our offhand kind of go-to language about something as complex and personal, that as well-intentioned as people may be, sometimes it has that opposite effect. And so it helps to be more careful and more
thoughtful.
How would
it have the opposite effect? What do you mean?
Well, so as she mentions, you know, using this language around beating cancer can then imply that someone was not good enough or strong enough or something to beat
cancer. I understand that. But
right?
I mean, I wonder about that very initial point, though. Do you think that the language we use, which is informed by the thoughts we have, impacts our ability to fight these diseases?
I think that our language, our thoughts, our emotions, we know from our research that they do influence our psychological and our physical health.
Okay, you said influence, and that's all I'm asking for, because I don't think it's a cure-all. Nobody,
exactly,
I think, is suggesting that. But say I have an 80% chance, but if I'm positive about it, I'll take 82. Is it something like that?
Can't put numbers on it at this point, right?
But we're talking about a shade of the, mm-hmm, of the sort of ability that your body may have.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It may be part of helping influence your body's ability to fight the disease through processes related to, for example, the cardiovascular system or the immune system.
You really think so?
Yes, there's some research evidence to support that. There's much more research that needs to be done to identify exactly what's happening.
And again, you and I are not speaking about if I have a positive attitude, I will more likely follow doctor's orders.
Those things are also possible pathways for this process.
I wonder if that's really what it's all about. Because I'm more interested, maybe I should be more interested in that, because that's tangible. We understand that. Let's do that. At least we can do that. But I wonder if we're kidding ourselves. if we say, if you have a positive attitude, it's going to help you get better. For instance, if someone has a negative attitude, but they follow doctor's orders to a T, are they any worse off?
Well, I think part of it is in this shading of the language, right? So having a positive attitude may not necessarily help you get better. It could be helpful. It might also be that it just helps improve your quality of life in the meantime, and that has its own benefits.
I'm wondering if there's some neurochemical thing in your brain and it sends signals down to the cells or to you. And I spoke about this off the air. Wasn't there a report that I saw on the CBS Morning News and you knew what I was talking about? What was that?
Yeah, so that's related to telomeres, which are part of the genetic process, essentially.
What is that? What are we talking about here?
So we're talking about processes that are happening in your DNA replication and how those are related to your physical health. So there's some really initial evidence about positive psychological constructs being related to better physical health as measured by your telomere length. Also in other physical outcomes like, you know, blood pressure, heart rate, immune system
functioning. Are we talking about fighting disease there or just feeling better every day, having a healthier and happier life?
Well, both potentially.
Yeah. But I mean, so that's a new area of study, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So all of these explorations about how exactly in the body this positive psychological process may influence your physical health is really growing. There's a lot more work to be done, but a lot of initial evidence in these different systems of the body that support further study to keep exploring.
Because, see, I've always just put this sort of on an anecdotal shelf. But this, they were really describing it as a sort of exciting, I don't know if breakthrough is the right word, but area of study, that your attitude can affect you at a cellular or DNA level. And if so, then okay. But then I wonder how you muscle that up, because some of us, are we kidding ourselves? You know, some of us are more optimistic than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And when we're in difficult situations, it's human nature to focus on the negative. That can be helpful, right? To look out for the things that are potentially problems and to focus on trying to solve those problems. It's when we get to focusing too much on those and becoming overwhelmed by them that it's harmful. And we know that there are certain skills and practices that can help people learn how to take a break from focusing on some of that negative and see and experience more positive in their lives.
I wonder if it's easier to imagine maybe not positive thoughts having a positive impact, but negative thoughts having a negative impact. If I'm having negative thoughts, maybe my respiration is bad. Maybe my blood pressure goes up. Maybe my bile and my gut actually acts up. And so I could see how I could dial myself down, even if I can't make myself appreciably better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But we do know from research that people can have both in their lives. So they can be going through a really difficult situation and also have moments where they do have a positive experience, not just less of a negative experience.
So can I help somebody do that then?
Yes, sure.
I mean, give me some coping skills for a person who's struggling medically, who I want to at least give a positive outlook and maybe a positive impact.
Well, so some of the skills that are in the program that we research at Northwestern include things like just being on the lookout even for positive things that are already happening in our lives. So again, when we're facing difficult situations, we tend to focus on the negative. And so we need to make room to be on the lookout intentionally for things that are positive.
Even if it's a small gain.
Even a really small thing, right? Even a thing like, wow, this is a beautiful sunny day finally in Chicago and it's warming up a little bit. Or it's just a nice cup of tea. Or maybe you have a moment with a loved one that is just sweet and enjoyable. Even briefly, recognizing that and savoring it in the moment as it's happening, really engaging all your senses to get the full experience of that is one of the ways that you can even capitalize on what's already happening positive.
And I don't want to beg the issue, but I know someone who's got a host of medical conditions right now. And I've been thinking, okay, let's at least focus on the one thing that's getting better. Hey, look at that. You know, your blood pressure is better now, even though there's other complications with this person's overall health. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that in line with what we're talking about as well?
Yeah, it is helpful to keep sight of those positive things that are already happening. As long as in the process of doing that, we're not dismissing or diminishing the fact that there are these negative things happening. And those things carry real weight and I think that goes back to some of the language in Heidi's article about not pretending like everything is okay and diminishing people's experience of how heavy these things can be.
Maybe it would be nice to acknowledge what they're going through.
That's
as
right.
Well. Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants some sort of validation once in a while. Yeah, this sucks.
Yes.
It's but I think she said, and maybe you would say also, let that person pick their language. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not force your system on them,
yes.
But let's find the positive around them that we can.
Yes.
Lots of phone calls, lots of texts for our guests. So let's pause here. The number's 312-981-7200. This started with Alex Trebek and his saying to people on Jeopardy last week that he has stage 4 cancer, but that he's going to fight it. And Heidi found herself in the middle of a couple of articles that were using words that some people liked and some people did not. It made me think, does any of this matter? Three, we have a few more minutes, fortunately, with Elizabeth Addington. She's a clinical health psychologist and assistant professor of medical social sciences at Northwestern Medicine Feinberg School of Medicine. The doctor is in. So we'll take some phone calls. Is that okay?
That sounds great.
Nothing else you want to insert here before we do that?
No, I'm happy to hear from your callers.
I am too. Let's talk to Karis. You're on WGN. Karis, thanks for joining us. What's up?
Hi, John and Elizabeth. I can't stress how important, and I'm so glad that you're talking about this. 4 years ago, May 14th, coming up here, I had a Whipple procedure. I had the same pancreatic cancer Steve Jobs died from. I was in the hospital at Northwestern for 3 weeks, and I was not getting any better. And they finally asked to send me home because I was in such a deep state of depression. You know, it's the fear, it's the horrible pain from the surgery. Within a week of getting home and my mother-in-law taking me outside on the patio and getting into the sunshine and getting back out in my garden, my health, I recovered so much more quickly because of that positiveness that was surrounding around me, and just getting back to life as normal as it could possibly be. So I'm really glad that you're bringing this to the attention of others that are fighting cancer.
Yeah, no kidding. I want her to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing well now. Yeah, so the kind of thing that you're talking about can be really important for a lot of people to have that time to feel like themselves, to notice bright spots in their day and in their lives. And that can give people, you know, a lot of energy then to help recover both psychologically and in terms of taking care of themselves physically. And as we were discussing before the break, some potential physical processes happening in the body as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she forced me to go outside and I felt the sun on me, and it was just like my world was so much more brighter and back to normal. Not 100%, it never will be, mm-hmm. but my immune system was just in the clinker. I mean, I cried every day in the hospital. I wasn't getting any better.
It's funny you mention your immune system.
The doctor had just, you know, decided to move me out. So
I'm really glad to hear your voice. You sound great, and I think you're helping a lot of people here, Karis. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, John.
You work with HIV patients, is that right?
We do. We've done some research with people with HIV.
Are you noticing any connection between attitude and them?
Yes, we do. So there's been some research where all other things being equal, so their health status, their engagement with their medical care, looking at their positive emotion does later predict how long they survive.
Really?
Yes. We also have done some research with people with HIV where we teach them some of the skills I was mentioning earlier for noticing and building more positive experience in their lives. And we do see some improved outcomes, both psychologically and health-related in those cases.
John, jump in here. You're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Thank you for taking my call. I am a 3-time cancer survivor and a heart attack survivor.
Wow.
The only way I survived, number one, you have to believe in your caregivers. Number two, you have to believe in God. Number three, you have to believe in yourself that you will make it through. You have to stay positive. You cannot focus on anything at all negative. And I have one more thing to say. I used to date a woman who was a perfusionist who worked in open heart surgery, and she told me, she said, as God is my witness, every time we have a patient going into open heart surgery who's crying, they don't make it. So my lesson is you have to be strong. You have to believe that you can make it. And I survived by believing and having good caregivers.
Yeah, no kidding. John, we're out of time. I'm really glad you called. Your reaction to that is?
Yeah, again, thank you, John, and glad to hear that you're also doing well. And I appreciate your passion about how important this was for you to focus on the positive. I do want to acknowledge that for most people, it is important, at least sometimes, to recognize that there are difficult things happening and that we do have negative emotions and negative experiences. And what we encourage for most people is not to pretend like those aren't happening or to completely ignore or deny the negative, but to also make space alongside those for the positive.
Dr. Elizabeth Addington is over at the Feinberg School at Northwestern. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for coming into our studio.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a 158, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I didn't do that on purpose.